That is because in a few days, I'm going to be having hip replacement surgery. And my doctor said, well, you're going to have to stay away from crowds. And I said, I pastor a church. And he said, well, you can't go to church. And I said, I'm the pastor of that church. And he said, okay, just don't be close to the people. So I hung out in the nursery back here, one of the classrooms, until it was time for me to come out. So you won't see me in the lobby, but if you want to get a hold of me, give me a call, shoot me a text, drop me an email, okay? And please be praying for Chris and I. We'll be here next Sunday, but then just after that, I'll be having surgery, okay? And that's why I'm sitting. It's not that I'm lazy. All right. Pastor Donnie and Brent joined me in preaching in the last few weeks on this wonderful, incredible book of Philippians. I believe one of the most positive books in the Bible that gives us a reason to rejoice and gives us the tools to learn how to cultivate joy in our lives. And so today we're going to take yet another step in how to cultivate joy and to have that ongoing joyful experience as we walk with God. Now, when I was in high school, a new TV show, an educational TV show, came out called Sesame Street. Can you believe how many years that show's been on? I was in high school. That was in the early 70s. Sesame Street came out, and there were lots of different characters. You know, Kermit the Frog and everything was on there, and they're all teaching you different things. And every day, Sesame Street was brought to you by a few letters and a couple of numbers, and that was the emphasis of that day. Well, one of the characters that came on later, which I saw my children and grandchildren were taught by, was a guy named Count Von Count. Simply known as the Count. And he would always be on, and he would have the number of the day, and he would say, today the number is 8. And then he would start to count things. He'd say, 8 rubber duckies. And he'd go, 1 rubber ducky, 2 rubber ducky. You know what I'm talking about? And then when he'd get to the end, he would laugh like a maniac. You know? And then he'd count apples, and he would count carrot sticks, and they'd count puppies, and you name it. But the whole idea was to help children learn how to count. Counting is important. Counting is what we do to assign a value to something. So we'll say how many dollars we have, how many cows we own, how many children we have. We count them, right? Counting. Counting, as I said, is the assigning of value. We count our finances. We count our friends on Facebook. We count the days until a big event, and then we count the days after the event through anniversaries and birthdays. We set up accounting systems. We have inventories. We'll count all the nuts and bolts we've got in the hardware store. We will count with bookkeeping. We know how much money came in, how much money went out, and how we spent it. We account for that activity. We count with records. We know how many people live in the United States, how many people are in the city, how many do this and that, how many kids are in our schools. We count our memories. Maybe not with a number, but we have an accounting of our memories. The good things that happened in our lives, we'll remember a gathering, a get-together, and a relationship. And we'll also count the negative things in our memories. We'll count the times that we were hurt, or the times we weren't treated fairly, or the times that disappointments came into our lives. We keep an accounting of those. And there are many different categories of accounting that we do in our lives. We account our relationships. We know who we have in our relationships. We mourn the loss of a relationship, or we have the joy of a new relationship. We count our money and the stuff it can buy. We count the ministries that we're involved in. We remember our past experiences. This is why we like to thumb through our pictures of the places we've gone and things that we've done. We have an accounting of our accomplishments. I remember when we got this done, or I finished this project, or I graduated from this schooling, or whatever. We have an accounting of our victories and an accounting of our troubles. Now, I want you to know something today, that how we take count in our life makes all the difference for the how joy is going to grow and be cultivated in our lives. Counting things and accounting for them and putting them in the right column makes a difference for how we're going to grow in our joy or how we're going to lose our joy. So today, I have a message title for you, Learning How to Count. I'm going to be your Count von Count today. I'm going to help you learn how to count, and at the end, I'm going to go, blah! Well, actually, I won't. I hope that we'll be at a serious moment, and I won't do that. But today, I want to help you learn how to count. And to do that, we're going to think about the joy that we want to grow in our life and the goal that we have of growing in joy through proper counting. And ask you today, how are you counting your life? When you take an accounting of your life, do you feel like there's joy in your life? Do you feel like there are good things that you've been able to account for? Or have bad things kind of overwhelmed the joy of your life and there is a lack of joy? You would say, I am certainly not very filled with joy. Do you know that the accounting of our lives is actually done intentionally? The accounting of our life is done intentionally. We're going to learn this today, that both the negative and the positive in our life, we put those into the right column on purpose. They just don't land there by chance. As I've told you in the past, and I want to keep helping you remind this, joy is cultivated. And for joy to be cultivated, there has to be a proper of accounting of our lives. You can increase your joy by right counting. You can deal with things that have brought you upset by proper counting. And today our text is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and following. But I'm going to actually back up to get you a little bit of context to go to verses 4, starting with verse 4. In verse 4, Paul, the apostle who writes to the Philippian church, is giving them an accounting of all the accomplishments he racked up before he knew Christ. And he says this, he says, if anyone else has reason to have confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law blameless. Now, this is his, he said, this is what I racked up. This is what I did in my life before I was a Christian. That's why he calls it in the flesh. Before I was in the spirit, when I was walking in the flesh, these are the things that I racked up, the things that I counted important. Just to go over them, he said, my Jewish blood, my heritage was of great importance to me. I had that in the win column. That I was of the right country, that I was of the right people, that I had the right DNA. That I had the right heritage. And especially to a Jewish person, this is important. You and I, we might say, well, you know, I'm half German, a little bit of French, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And we don't really necessarily think a lot about that. It's just kind of interesting. You might get on one of these DNA programs online and you find out about your family history and things. But to a Jewish person, this was central to who they were. It wasn't just an item of interest. It was an item of central importance, of great value to them. And he says, I was pure in who I wanted to be. His education was of great value to him. He tells us in another place that he was educated by the greatest minds of the time in the greatest universities. We would think of him today as being an Ivy League graduate. His career as a Pharisee was at the top of his list of accomplishments, and along with that career came all the perks of a prosperous life because a Pharisee was a very rich person. He was recognized in the community as an influencer. He didn't have to have social media to be an influencer. He was an influencer by who he was. What he said, his thoughts on any topic were taken with great importance, and people would want to follow in those footsteps. He had a great position in the community, and he was zealous in his work. So zealous that he would literally kill people for his work because he thought that it would please the Lord. And in his personal standards, he mentions this, his righteousness under the law, he was blameless. He lived the highest moral life that he could conceive. He felt himself to be an absolute winner. Yet, that was all before he came to Christ. All those things that were in the win column, he later said, were in the wrong place. They were in the wrong place. So let's see what he said about that in verses number 7 and 8. He said, whatever gain I had, I counted for loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Now, is he saying that those things that he did before his life never had value to him? No, he's saying they had value, but when I consider them next to the value of knowing Christ, they are now garbage. I have moved them from the column in my life, the accounting. He says, I have counted them as loss. I have moved them as a lost effort. I've moved them into another column. Because Christ, what I count Christ being worth is so much more than what that old life was worth. You see, counting dictates our joy. He said, I'm not going to find joy from these things from my old life or things that had to do with my flesh, things that had to do with my efforts. I'm going to move those to a different column because the things that really bring me joy come from God. That's where I'm really counting my joy to come from. We also count and we deal with the impact of things that happen to our lives that are negative. Everybody, even Christians, have things that happen in their lives that are negative. We go through trials. We go through difficulties. We go through times of loss. Nobody ever said that coming to God, finding Jesus as Savior, removed all your troubles. It removes how we account for them. If you look in the book of James, James echoes what Paul was talking about by looking at the other side of the ledger. He said, my brethren, count it. Here we are back to counting again. He says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, the things that we count as loss, the things that we count as a negative, the scripture tells us we need to count them as a positive, move them into a different column. It releases joy. We move the pain. We move the things that we say were bad. I was abused. I was hurt. I was overlooked. I was taken advantage of. I was discriminated against. I lost my business. I have a bad health thing happen. People who I loved died. We name it. You can name any of the negatives that can come into our lives. And the Bible says, move those things from a loss column into a plus column. Move them into a gain column. We are intentionally assigning value. We intentionally assign the value of things that we counted as gain that were not. We intentionally assign them a value as something that's less than knowing Christ. For the things that happened in our lives that were of a negative sense, we intentionally assign them a value and say, those are things God can use for a gain. We are learning how to count. And learning how to count and move things into the proper column of accounting cultivates joy in our lives. And can I also add that if we decide just to leave things in the column where they landed, they will destroy our joy. If we leave those negatives in that negative column, that'll destroy our joy. If we leave those things that were outside of our walk with God and say, those are the things that used to bring me joy, if we leave them there as a place of prominence, those will also destroy our joy. Now, James points out here that the losses actually have a lot of hidden benefits. He said these losses give you a test to pass, a victory to have in your life, some faith to grow, some patience to learn to exercise, and maturity that will begin to take root in your life as you complete God's purpose for you. When you take an accounting of the bad things that happened in your life and say, I'm going to move them into a new column, you have now assigned them a value. That says that past hurt, that past pain, or that current thing I'm going through is all to bring me to completion, to bring me to maturity, to bring me to a new level of ministry. Now we're starting to get somewhere. Now it's not just a train wreck in our life, it's for His glory. It's for our growth. You see, God is calling on us to keep our eye on the goal. The goal is not just our momentary happiness. The goal is much greater than this. Paul, coming back to this accounting, says this, "For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." I'm going to pause there just for a moment and say something. When you make the move in accounting, it does feel like there's some suffering. I've learned to lean on and to depend on those things that were my trophies of the past. Paul had learned to lean on being a Pharisee. He had learned to lean on his riches. He had learned to lean on the acclaim he got from the community. He said, when I moved them into a different column, I suffered some loss, but it didn't matter because then what I found was I gained Christ. Joy comes from living and knowing that I'm gaining Christ, not depending on this work of my flesh. So going on, he says, "I did this in order that I could gain Christ and be found in him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." I got to pause again. You can live in the power of the resurrection. You can either choose to live in your old life, in your old victories, or you can live in the power of the resurrection. You suffer some loss to move into the power, and it's worth it all. And he says, "I could share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I might attain the resurrection from the dead." He says, "I am living for eternal things." When I made that new accounting, I began to live for eternal things. So I want to ask you today, let's turn it upon ourselves. How are you accounting for your life in a way that cultivates joy? Or are you just kind of letting it happen? Like, well, if it happens, it happens. You know, remember I said at the beginning of this message, or this series, that sometimes we think that maybe I've got the DNA for joy. Maybe I landed in the right place for joy. No, joy comes through proper accounting. It cultivates joy. We tend to count things. We keep score. We keep score for ourselves. We keep score for others as well, but I want to talk about keeping score for ourselves. Things that we lean on or things that we keep the pain alive in, our careers. We can either lean on our career through our own efforts and say, that's the thing that brings me joy, and that's a very fragile thing because you won't always have your career. Or you can look at your career and say, I hate everything about my job. I hate everything about it. I literally can sing that country western song, take this job and shove it. You hate everything about it. It destroys your joy. It destroys your day. It destroys your week. You view tomorrow, Monday, as just a curse. You know, I just don't want anything to do with it. You know, either way, can I tell you something? We need to move our careers into Christ's column. That we work for the sake of Jesus. That if we find that our career is the thing that gives us value, if our career is the thing that gives us purpose, then let's put it into Christ's column and say, I'm gonna do this as unto the Lord. And if your career brings you pain, then grow through it, as James says. We count things like our morality. We may feel like Paul, when it comes to morality, I got it wired. I got to tell you something, folks. I grew up a pretty moral kid. I went to church my whole life. I did all the right stuff. I knew all the right songs. I knew all the things to do. I hung out with the right people. Those of you that know me know I've never had a drink in my life. I've never taken any drugs. I've never smoked a cigarette. You know, all that kind of stuff. But you know what? None of that stuff makes any difference in God's sight. What I was before Christ doesn't earn me anything. Our past morality, and if you are a really moral person, your past morality is not the thing, or even your best attempt at morality now is not the thing to bring your joy. Move that into God's column and say, if I'm anything, it's because of the grace of God. And for those of you that say, my morality is on the other end of the spectrum, I have nothing but shame in my life. I have nothing but shame about the things I've done, the way I lived my life, the way I conducted my business, the truthfulness that I lived my life, the morality sexually in my life. The things in my life bring me a lot of shame. I want you to know something. You can move that shame into God's column today, and that shame can be put behind you. You can count that as something to be behind you. We count our money. It can be a blessing or it can be a pit. You may think you've got nothing in your life and you have nothing but debt. And you can move that into God's column. You can say, I've got lots built up and I'm comfortable. And you're like that guy in the Bible that said, I have all that I'm ever going to need or everything's taken care of. Now move that into God's column and say, I'm going to count that as His. We could go on and on. We could talk about status. Do you feel honored in your life or do you feel humiliated? Do you feel relationships in your life that are a blessing, that are encouraging, and that bring energy to your life? Or do you have relationships in your life that are painful and hurtful? Move your relationships into God's column. Let Him today bring joy through things that happen when you give it all to Him. You see, Paul said, the things that I count as gain, I count as nothing as compared to knowing Christ. And James said, the things that I find as loss, I thank God for because they're helping me grow. Now, the fact is, when we move things into God's column, it doesn't mean they no longer exist. It just means they have a different value. Paul was still a Jew. After he came to his place of saying, these things that I used to count as so important, I've now moved over and I said, that belongs to God. That did not make him not a Jew. But what it did do is made him a better Jew. He became a completed Jew. He came to know the Messiah as his Savior. And he was able to be a great witness to the Jewish community. He did not stop. He didn't abandon all of his learning. He took his great learning and he used it for preaching the gospel. He didn't say that he didn't renounce his Jewish heritage and his bloodline. He valued those things. He was moral before his conversion, but now he lived for Christ, not so that others would say what a good man he was. The things that you have in your life, when you move them and you say, I'm starting to count them differently, don't disappear. They take on a greater value. They take on a different aspect. So today, as we're going to conclude, let me just ask you, if you can figure out today, let's do it together, how can you know where you really are in this? How can you know how you're counting things in your life? There are three things that I believe reveal how you're counting things in your life. The first one is your speech. Your speech will reveal eventually how you're counting things in your life. I'm not talking about the rehearsed speech. The speech that you've got ready when you meet somebody in the lobby today, before or after service, when they ask you how you're doing and you say, I'm just great, thanks. I'm talking about the speech that comes out under pressure, when you haven't thought it through and it just comes bubbling out. What does your speech reveal about how you're counting things? Do you find yourself bragging about your accomplishments in your speech? Well, it's time to move that then and realize there's something going on there. Or maybe your speech is full of negativity. Have you ever met somebody, you say, how's it going? How's your year been? And here's what they'll say. Well, this year I've had 3 friends die. Wow. That kind of tells me you're stuck in the pain. Or if your speech is always just about our physical problems, about our emotional problems, if our speech is filled with all of our negativity, then it's time to move things into a new column and say, I'm going to give those things to God. Our words are powerful. The power of life or death is found in our tongues. And our speech reveals how we're accounting for the things of our lives. The second thing is our priorities. Our priorities reveal how we're accounting for our lives. If our priorities are all based upon our gains, upon what we can have and what we can accumulate, that's showing something about our lives. If our priorities say, I never have time for ministry, I never have time for fellowship, I never have time for other people, that reveals something about the accounting of our lives. The third thing that reveals how we're doing is our actions. Our actions confirm what we really are, how we really are accounting. If we're generous for people, and even in a time of our own personal need, that shows something about our accounting. If we let the old pain of our life dictate every decision and we keep saying no to opportunities and no to growth and no to ministry because we've got too much pain, then that reveals it's time to do some accounting in our lives. You see, difficulties reveal how we're really doing. Difficulties reveal what's really inside. Over the past 10 days, our community has seen a level of suffering and loss that's really, in my years I've lived here, it's unprecedented. And we can see that some people, through the fire, you can see how the gold is revealed of how they have been accounting for their lives. Many people have been impacted by the interview of Michael Miller. If you haven't seen it, please watch with me.
Not only their story of survival, but we're about to show you some new video from flames, close up as this is actually Michael Miller escaped with his life. Take me through how you're feeling first right now.
Grateful and home free.
You're trying to make the best of it. I mean, and by home free, you say that you lost your home.
Yep. That's okay.
Can you show us that video you showed me a moment ago?
Yeah, this is from Living Waters Fellowship parking lot.
And where is this exactly?
This is about mile marker 41, just west of Lazy Days RV Park.
Okay, so you can interrupt that before she came along.
Yeah.
And what is that right there?
That is the church burning.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Every one of our parishioners has been present and accounted for according to the pastor, the parents, and the pastor. I'm grateful in our prayers with all the other families that have lost so much, much more than we did. We only lost our home and our belongings.
And
God be with us all.
And you say only, but you've gone through a great deal of pain in the past few days.
Nothing compared to what I've seen others. I was spared, and I'm just grateful.
Tell me also about who else you helped rescue, someone who is a quadriplegic, you said.
My friend Michael Murphy's mother is quadriplegic, and they weren't able to get an ambulance to his house in time. So we put her in my Bronco and her wheelchair, and the fire overtook us. We weren't able to get to Blue River to evacuate. The fire's recovering the road, so we just pulled into the Living Waters Fellowship parking lot. As the field burned off, we backed into the embers, and then the church burned and the trees around us, and God spared us.
So you lived through the fire, actually. You waited for it to pass through.
Yes, sir.
What were those moments like as you sat there? How long did it take?
About 45 minutes, and I prayed, and God gave me a peace, and we're here.
In those moments, did you feel like you were going to die?
I don't think I considered that. Sure, it was there, but either way, as I once read, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So either way, this side or that side, I'm grateful to be on this side, because my children would have been really pissed if they didn't get to see me.
My word, and you're here today picking up what you can?
Yep. Get some couple of pillows and get a new pair of shoes, and we got signed up for some hotel vouchers, and all our needs are being met.
I gotta ask you, with everything that you've gone through, losing your home, living through this awful fire that's now 145,000 acres, how are you able to keep such a positive demeanor about you right now?
That's got to be my gift, dumb jokes and humor, and that's what I got.
And I've got to say, all of this show of support, too, must be helping as well.
Oh, it's just overwhelming to see what this community has done. It's overwhelming.
Sorry, I'm choked up a little bit here, because seeing your strength is powerful.
His strength, not mine. It's true.
But standing next to you here, I mean, you lived through a fire. It's hard to. I apologize, because you're the one that's strong right now. And I feel like this is what people need to hear.
We'll get through this.
You're quite a survivor for me.
We'll get through this.
Sir, thank you so much. Be safe, please. Thank you.
What can give a person the strength to live like that? Christ in us is our hope of glory. We are able to do things through God that we could not do on our own. Through the suffering, there's gain. The laying down of our trophies raises us to new heights. And you may say, I don't know if I could have done that. Well, I know who can make you to be that kind of person. Christ in us becomes our everything. We can exchange something that is temporary for something that is eternal. And as our brother said, to live is Christ. To die is gain. We can't lose. Now you may say, this is too much for me, but let me give you an encouraging word today from 2 Corinthians 4. Where the scripture says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what is seen, but not on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We are fixing our eyes on what is eternal, on what can't burn up in a fire, what can't be taken away by sickness, what can't be stolen by injustice, which only God can give. Today, I want to call you to making that exchange, to learn to count. I'm going to count the things of my fleshly life as not as important as Christ. I'm going to move those to another column. I'm going to take the pain of my life and I'm going to stop complaining about those things and I'm going to begin saying, God, you are growing me through these. I'm moving those into another column. Would you join me in doing that? Would you bow your heads with me? Those of you that are home, would you bow your heads with me as well? All across the auditorium here and across every living room or workplace, wherever we are today, I want you to know that we can count everything for joy. And I know it's a challenge. It's hard to lay down our trophies. It's difficult to pick up our pain and to move it into a joyful column. But I want to give you a word today that you can do all things through the power of God. In this same book that we're reading, and we'll go into more detail on this another week, Paul said, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Today, this is not too much for God. Would you pray with me now? And I would just like to ask every person, the sound of my voice or watching this video, reach out to Him with me now. As a matter of fact, would you mind just lifting your hands and say, here I am. Come and bring me your strength. Come and help me to account for my life in a godly way. To count the things that I count as so important as rubbish compared to knowing Christ. To count the things that have been hurtful and painful in my life as losing their ability to bring pain because I'm moving those into a new column. I'm moving those over to God. That I'm going to grow through these. I'm going to grow in joy. I'm going to grow in peace. Lord, I pray today that as we consciously make the decision to put all of these things into your hands, that we're going to let you count these things for us in a new way. That the things of this world do not hold value for us. That the things that have brought us pain no longer have power over us. I thank you, Lord, for this new way of counting. Thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Thank you that through Christ we can do all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me today? I have a word for us that I want to share with you as a benediction. And then after you hear this word, I want you to do something with me. I want us to send up a shout to the Lord. Have you got a shout inside to you for the Lord? Do you have something inside that says, I could shout to the Lord today? Here's something to shout over from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 through 13. God is speaking about the veracity and the power of his word. And he says this, this is the same for my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to do. And it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Where there was once thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and his love. Can we praise him that he is that kind of God? Send up a shout to him today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you take our pain and you move it into a new column. One of victory and joy and peace. And you take our past victories, our personal victories, and we move them into yours, Lord. Lord, that we would give it all to you and you would be exalted in our lives. Thank you for your word, Lord, that it brings joy and peace and growth. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you. Go in God. Have a great week this week.